What up, Nashville? Good Wednesday morning. Welcome in. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here with you. Nick Keyser, who was worried if I was going to be on time, behind the glass.
Oh, my
doing
God.
His thing.
Oh, my God.
Where
Derek,
is he?
Derek,
he's
Derek,
in his office.
He's amazing.
I don't know where he is.
Derek, you might have to open the show. Oh, my goodness. What are we going to do? Where's Willie?
Rook, calm down. The suit will be here. He's right down the way. Don't worry about it, you know. Willie is here. Don't worry about it. We'll be
fine. You know what's funny? I just had flashbacks to when I was in Nick's spot.
Same thing.
I used to do that too. Like, where are they? I don't know where they are. What do we do? Anyway.
So you're not the first, Nick.
And you won't be the last.
Absolutely. There'll always be somebody worried.
Yeah, that's all right. It's good to be worried. It's good to have people to worry about you and care
exactly.
about you.
Exactly. Absolutely. We need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of being worried, how worried should we be about Taylor Lewan? He, of course, does the Bustin' with the Boys podcast with Will Compton for Barstool Sports. They dropped their latest episode last night, and Lewan opened up about his knee injury. And my takeaways from it is this has basically been lingering since he initially tore his ACL in 2020 and had the surgery. And it kind of sounds like that maybe something went wrong with the initial surgery. Because he hasn't really been the same. I mean, he got a little better as the season went on last year, but it does feel like that Lewan's been different from a playing standpoint since that knee injury.
Yeah, he's never truly been the same, you know, since the knee injury. There was a lot that kind of sort of went on during that time. He gets suspended. He has the knee injury, you know, and he just never was the same player. And that's why I always go back to, you know, when we're talking about whether it be Robert Woods or any other player that has significant knee injuries, you never know how one player reacts to the same injury rather than the other. You know, Taylor might be different from Robert Woods. Robert Woods might be different, you know, from Jeffrey Simmons, who had, I think Jeffrey had a knee injury as well. But they all, you know, they all come back or perform differently after the injury. Some takes longer. That's why I was like, listen, pump your brakes on the whole Robert Woods thing. You know, he's coming off an ACL. I know he looks good, but pump your brakes because it takes a minute to come back at least from what I've seen and experienced. I've never had an injury, but I've been around a bunch of guys who have had ACLs. And I've watched them day after day and practice after practice and how long it took them to come back and were they the same. And a lot of them were not the same player. And, you know, it was interesting listening to Taylor on his podcast and how he described the whole situation. And he was almost cryptic in a sense that, hey, listen, there's more to come, but I can't explain it right now. So
what does that tell you when you hear that somebody says there's more to come?
It means that there's more to come. Like he has more receipts that, he will be able to tell more of what's going on. I don't understand. He made it seem like he couldn't say it. And we will have, what he said on his podcast. We will have it.
I think we have that right
have
here
now.
Actually. Yeah.
Let's listen to it.
You haven't played. Like, we haven't gotten to hear from Taylor Lewan about the injury.
When I tore my ACL in 2020, October 2020, I was, like, on this mission to get back as fast as possible and do everything I possibly could do right. Last year, during the season, I had issues. My knee was swollen up. I was always feeling pain in there, and I was like, I don't know what the deal is. And it turns out this year, I found out that there are things with my knee going on now that are like a direct correlation to what happened when I got my knee done. And so I have to go and get my knee fixed to be able to play football or to live like a normal life just in general. Right. So there's not a whole lot I can go into for reasons I can't talk about right now, but I promise that when I am able to talk about everything, I'm an open book. I'll literally say everything that needs to be said and go from there. But the best I can say about this is not a new injury. It's the same injury that happened to last for 2 years.
So you got to fix your knee again. Same.
I got to fix my knee. So I'm leaving tomorrow morning. That's Tuesday to fly to LA. Dr. Ella Trosh is going to fix my ACL and I'll be done for the season.
Okay.
Well, that right there, I mean, it's
and that was a few. I think that was recorded a few weeks ago.
Yeah, probably. It was cryptic, but it said a whole lot.
It tells me everything I need to
exactly
know.
That, you know, that something went on with the surgery that it didn't go as planned.
Sounds like they botched it.
Yeah, you know, and you just wonder. You know, was it the actual botching of the surgery? Was it the rehab that caused the re-injury to the knee in the same area? you know, only Taylor knows. And I'm sure because, I went through this same thing, you know, when I broke my scapula. I broke it at the beginning of the year, like five games in. And, you know, went in and they told me, listen, you know, you can't damage it anymore, you know, because it's a crack or whatnot. You can't damage it anymore than what it is. If you, you know, go out, you can still play if you want to play. You know, they didn't force me to play. I was like, okay, I can play. I can run. I can, you know, y'all can do whatever y'all need to do to make sure I can play on Sunday. Didn't practice the whole week, but played on Sundays for like 12 weeks. And then I went to a doctor, Dr. Ting, in San Francisco, who did the surgery. And he was like, man, this is, he's like, were you in a car accident? I'm like, no, he was just playing when he said that and being facetious. But he was like, man, these are injuries I usually see in hockey players. But he said, yeah, you clearly broke, like you cracked the scapula. And you need surgery. So I went on ahead, had surgery, and, you know, but, you know, the severity of it, they didn't discuss on the front end, the severity of it. I didn't know the severity of it until I went and got a second opinion later on after the season. And I'm not blaming that on the doctors or the, you know, medical people there early on. I don't blame them. I'm just... You know, when I had to go after the season because it was still bothering me, I got more of an explanation. Like, he went through the whole thing with me. So, you know, you just wonder in Taylor's situation what was said before, what was said during, and what was said after the surgery and the rehab. And then for him to have these same problems going into last season when the knee was swelling up and everything else, and then subsequently you tear it again, and then he comes out and said, I need surgery just to be able to basically move, walk around. It's not really – I need it for football, but I really need it to just be functional. That's the way he made it seem.
Sure.
You know, that I needed to be functional. So that tells me something happened during that surgery.
Yeah, they either missed something or did something wrong. And look, I don't want to speculate too much. I'm not a doctor. I don't pretend to be a doctor. But just reading the tea leaves, reading between the lines of what Lawan said, there's things I can't get into, tells me that now this is probably a legal matter.
Exactly.
And which happens. And so he has to be careful what he says and what he does. And I totally respect that, but it stinks because it has potentially ended his career, but it's
he won't play in a Titans uniform. I would be surprised. Won't play in a Titans uniform again.
It would be very surprising
if he's back next year, which makes me think this, Chase. If indeed you knew he was dealing with this ailment, his knee, and that it was swelling up like he said, and that he went through last year, and it was a problem for him last year, why didn't you address that position during the draft?
Well, okay.
And you see what I'm getting at?
I know where you're going, and that's where I want to go next. And I want people to weigh in on this. 615-737-1025. What did the Titans know? That's what I would assume that they've known everything going on with this because it's kind of their job to know.
Mm-hmm.
But if they didn't or they ignored it, this is just another kind of a theme of what has happened with these injured players and, you know, drafting guys that are hurt and signing guys that have been hurt and, you know, what's going on here? So, I mean, like, I agree with you. Why didn't they address the left tackle spot.
Mm-hmm.
If they knew that this could be a possibility that, hey, you know, he might not bounce back from this.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of those questions. Now that it has come out, that's one of those questions that need to be answered by those that are in the position to answer those questions over at the Titans facility. Yeah, that's hey, listen, as much as we like them, and, you know, I've told you guys, listen, I think Vrabel's doing a wonderful job. I think John has done a wonderful job since he's been GM. But these are the questions now they must ask if your player is coming out and saying this.
Right.
And it seems like he has more to say. I'm not saying it's John's fault or Vrabel's fault. Why wasn't it addressed if indeed he was going through what he was going through, what he said he was going through during last season? Why didn't you then address the left tackle position via the draft or free agency with a good player?
We'll continue to discuss that coming up next, 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are up and running here on a Wednesday. Jonathan Hutton going to join us at high noon. We'll check in with Willie D. from Prague as well later in the show. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. But first, Derek has a word about BetUS.
Yes, I do. Today's Wednesday, people. There may be a few games on. I'm not sure. But there's baseball games on. There's a few basketball games on, but they are preseason, so I'm pretty sure no one really wants to get into that. But if you do, then why not head over to BetUS.com? Matter of fact, you should, and better head over to BetUS.com, which is back for its 28th NFL action with the industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%. That's a lot. BetUS offered their members the opportunity to cash in on all your favorite leagues, including the NFL, which starts back up again for the week tomorrow, the NBA, which they're playing preseason games, MLB, which is getting ready to head into the playoffs, and many more. They've also got hundreds of new casino games, including the coolest European slots, and their live dealers are waiting for you at the tables. You need a sport book with integrity and longevity. You need to know that you will be getting paid. You need a sport book that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horse racing, esports, and all kinds of crazy bets. So call today at 1-800-79-BETUS. That's 1-800-79-BETUS, and they will walk you through setting up your account. Nobody in the industry, and I mean nobody, gets better bonuses than BETUS. So join now. Mention the greatest sports station on Earth, 102.5, and you can get up to 200% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. So head on over to BETUS.com and join today. That's BETUS, where the games begin.
Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. Nick Kieser on the ones and twos. That's called hitting the post there, Nick. We're teaching him. Teaching him. You hit the post. Taking your calls, your texts. Taylor Lewan, what do the Titans know about his knee injury, and what does the future hold for the Titans left tackle? 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll continue to have this discussion because I feel like that they did know some things. Mm-hmm. Now, they don't have to tell us everything. I mean, they're not going to. We know that Vrabel...
I don't expect them to.
Vrabel wouldn't give an injury report unless he was required by the league to do so. So, I mean, I don't think
that's just him. I think that's every coach. They would rather keep
that. Some are more open than others, though.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, how was Harbaugh?
He was the same, but, you know, the league makes you do these injury reports now. And, you know, a lot of it does have to do, I believe, with betting. But the league makes you come out with these injury reports every week. And I know some coaches don't like it. Majority of the coaches don't like it. They would rather keep that in their pocket. You know, it's an advantage if you don't know who's hurt and who's not. It's an advantage if you don't know who's questionable and who's not, you know? So,
I guess.
But, yeah, this is an issue for me because the issues with the offensive line, you know, the guys that didn't work out, whether it's Isaiah Wilson, Dylan Radins, you know, you getting rid of Conklin, you getting rid of Saffold, guys like that. If one of those players would have worked out at the tackle position, Isaiah Wilson or Dylan Radins, I don't know if Taylor would be here for one, but I don't think even if he comes out and said it, it's not a big deal because now we got somebody to replace you, so we're not too worried about it, you know. But because that has been, even when Taylor came back, that still was not a solidified spot. That still was not a spot that you know, prior to the injury, we thought, okay, we don't have to worry about the left side. Let Taylor do his thing. He can handle it. He's one of the best in the league. But after the surgery, it was always, he doesn't look the same. He's not the same. He's not playing well. He played well this game, didn't play well the other game. And to me, that should have been addressed. If indeed you knew. Well, and you can't tell me if Taylor's explaining it the way he did, saying his knee was always swollen and everything else, you can't tell me you didn't know that this was happening.
You knew. But here's the thing, and Gator Tim points this out on our text line. The Titans have addressed the tackle position twice in the past three drafts, two complete busts. It's apparent that J-Rob is terrible at drafting at that position. They have. I mean, they have made picks. They spent a first-rounder on Isaiah Wilson and a second-rounder on Dylan Radins. And we know what happened with Isaiah Wilson, and Dylan Radins to this point looks like he's not a tackle, at least.
He's not a guard either.
Yeah, I don't think he's anything.
He's
nothing.
He's just a guy that shouldn't be on this team.
I think he's working with Takahashi and Haas.
Exactly. shouldn't be on the – he's not good enough to make this team. I don't see I understand why they kept him because they don't have any depth. But beside that, my thing is, okay, and I text you guys this. I think I did. Okay, if indeed you knew Taylor was going through this all last season, why then did you get rid of Saffold and not Taylor Lewan? I don't understand because – He's since that knee injury, he hasn't been the same. And then based upon what – I'm only going by what he's saying. I'm not – this is not – you know, even though we all looked at Taylor and said, he's just not the same player. But now we're going by – this is from the horse's mouth. Hey, my knee was swollen a lot last year. If indeed y'all knew this cat was coming off – well – he was coming off a knee injury, and that same knee was swelling up on him the very, 2 years later, almost. Why then did you get rid of Saffold instead of saying, you know what, Taylor, we can't keep rolling the dice on this.
Loyal,
you know,
to a fault.
It's not even loyalty.
No, that's what it is for him.
I guess.
They love him. And I get it, and there are reasons that they
but
should.
But you love him, but you don't love other players. That's what I don't get. You didn't love Saffold enough to keep him.
Where is J-Rob from? What cloth is he cut from? This shouldn't surprise you.
The Belichick cloth.
Right.
Yeah.
Belichick's the same way. You love certain players and more than you love others.
And you get other players a little bit more leeway than others.
The difference is – when they had Tom Brady, let's go ahead and put that caveat in there. When they had Tom Brady, they could just cut a guy because they were going to have to pay him too much and plug somebody else in, and it worked. Mm-hmm. The Titans haven't been able to do that because they don't have Tom Brady. They don't have a franchise elite quarterback like Tom Brady, Hall of Famer. They were able to get away with it in New England because of that, because he made up for the deficiencies that they had by just plugging in an inexperienced guy. I mean, you can't tell me that cutting Teddy Bruschi and trading Mike Vrabel and moving on from that, and then I forgot.
They've moved on from a bunch of people.
Yeah, and they just throw guys in there. But and look, it's because you had on defense, you had some other Hall of Fame guys that could cover up some deficiencies, and then obviously on offense, you had Brady. It hasn't worked like that here, and I think any good GM would try and do that. Would try and have that Belichick Saban mentality of we got to have what's next ready to go when we move on, and this is where the depth comes back to bite them, and they haven't been able to do that.
Yeah, they haven't. And okay, if you look at the Isaiah Wilson situation, I don't think they foresaw what was going to happen with him, because his wasn't about injury, I don't think. Was it? His had nothing to do with injury.
Who?
Isaiah Wilson.
No.
It was more mental. Whatever was going on.
He didn't want to be a football player.
Yeah, he didn't want to be a football player. They tried it with him, just for a year, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
And so that's where – and again, I don't know the particulars about that situation. But again, I go back to you. Well, you give some guys more chances than you give others. You chose to keep Dylan Raitens, who from nobody's eyes, this is an NFL player. Nobody's eyes. And you took a flyer on him. You know, he was almost like this project that you were drafting in the second round. This project didn't work out, and you still are holding on to this project when you know damn well this project is done. It's not a project. You got an F on it. You got an F on a project. Don't try to keep redoing the project to make it work. It's not going to work. So cut bait with him. Okay? Well, you choose to keep him instead of whatever the deal was with Isaiah Wilson. And again, I don't know all the particulars with that. But again, it goes back to LaJuan. If you knew what he was going through from an injury standpoint, then why didn't you, in this draft, get you a left tackle or a left tackle via free agency? Did you believe that much in the guys on your roster that you figure, you know, we don't have to travel down that road? And that could be the answer. Like I said, I like Nicholas. I think he's going to be a not you, Nick.
I like Nicholas too.
I like you too, Nick.
Every day you say my name and I get so confused, okay? Just say Nicholas or Nick. Or
I call you Nick, and I call the other guy Nicholas.
Just call him PT. Like,
yeah, I call him PT.
Like Chris.
Yeah, Chris call him PT.
I don't miss blocks though.
But
no, you don't.
No, you don't. But you know, I think Nicholas will be a really good player in this league. I think he will end up being a Pro Bowl player. You felt you had enough in him, but he's only on one side.
Right.
He's on the right side. How do you then address the left side? Or if you put him on the left, how then do you address the right side? Because, again, Dylan Raitens.
I wouldn't put him on the left.
I'm just saying, if they thought – you know, either sure. Or. You still, if you put him on one side, you still got to deal with the other.
How do you feel about the right side as a whole with Nate Davis and then Nicholas Petit-Frere?
I feel good about that side. I really do. I think with Ben, Nate, and Nicholas, I think those three guys do a good job at run blocking. Now, they need to get better at pass blocking, but they do a good job at run blocking.
Some of that is because of the deficiencies on the left side.
Exactly. So now you got this left side when you knew it was an issue last year because of what your left tackle is now saying.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you make a concerted effort to address it? Again, did you believe that much in Daly that he could be your guy, or Raitens, that you could put him on the left side? If that is indeed the case, then okay, say that.
Right.
You know, but you can't make us believe after your left tackle just came out and said he had been dealing with this knee issue all last season, it was swelling up. You can't make me believe as a former player you didn't know anything about it.
Oh, I know. Well, and here's the other thing. Now they may be addressing left tackle. They're likely going to have to address left guard again or center because Ben Jones, I would say, is probably going to retire. Now, you could move Aaron Brewer to center, which is more of his natural position. But then, once again, you're addressing the whole left side.
Yep.
And that's the never-ending cycle with them.
Well, it's been the cycle for the last couple of years, addressing that, trying to figure out, you know, the offensive line in general. I think they got the right side figured out. It's the left side, and now it's more of a it's become more of a spotlight because of what your, you know, injured left tackle just said.
Coming up next, there is somebody that believes Tua should retire. We will discuss that in the latest with him. Coming up next, make sure to Watch us live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune into the College Football Game of the Week on 94.9 The Fan this Saturday as MTSU takes on UAB at 2:30. College Football Game of the Week is brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree drafts, and Wall-to-Wall Sports and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here with you. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. Willie's going to join us in the next hour. He'll be on for a little bit from Prague in the Czech Republic. We'll see how things are going over there. He finally got an opportunity to explore. I saw some pictures that he posted. He and Chris Mason had a couple of pops last night, so got to check things out. So that was very, very cool. Speaking of last night, D-Mace, shout out to my friend Jill Jelnick. Won an award at the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters, their first award show they did for best sportscast. So,
congrats, Jill.
Yeah, getting it done.
All right.
I mean, you know, we make appearances on her on her show, so I mean, I feel like we share a little bit of that.
Exactly.
So,
we should share in the excitement and the joyfulness and
the team.
The you know, everything that goes along with it, you know.
Yeah, so it was
but
a lot.
Congratulations,
of fun.
Jill.
The whole some of the Cromwell crew was there, and we had a.
Yeah, I kind
of
figured there was something you had on your suit.
The suit was.
And the ladies
up.
Had on nice dresses. I'm like, hey, what's going on?
Listen. Just you remember,
you sound like me. Listen,
I know. Listen, you know, we exactly like, you know, we talk about the friend zone and all those things. Uh-huh. I'll just put it to you like Roddy Piper. Just when you think you have all the answers, I change the questions.
You know how much rejection I face every day?
See, you could have stopped with listening.
I experience rejection all the time.
Yeah,
man.
We all
it
do.
Is what it is.
We all do. We have fun. I mean, yeah. that's the fun part about this show and doing this is I just kind of put it out there. And, yeah. You know, like y'all get to know me a little bit.
It is what it is.
For those of you that have listened for a long time, you've kind of seen the evolution from Baby Bird to the suit. So, you know, it's a good time.
Exactly.
We have fun. All right, serious subject. And I was talking to Eddie on Monday before the Eddie George show. And, you know, obviously Friday he was very passionate about everything with Tua. You were very passionate about it. And like, I lean on you guys because you lived it. You lived it in a different way than I did.
Mm-hmm.
And now there are, you know, people that are coming out. Bennett Amalu, who is the neuropathologist that the movie Concussion is based on,
mm-hmm.
has basically come out and he said, quote, "Tua, my brother, I love you." This is speaking to TMZ. "I love you as much as I love my son. Stop playing. Stop. Hang your helmet and gallantly walk away." Basically saying Tua needs to retire because of the concussions that he has suffered over the course of the last few weeks. And, I mean, I'm sure there have been others in his career as well. What do you think about that? Do you think that a guy that still has a lot of career in front of him, mm-hmm. he's having a tremendous start to the season, the Dolphins are rolling right now, should he? Should he consider it for his own health?
On one hand, it's like, listen, you hate to, you know, tell a individual what they need to do in regards to their career, a career that helps provide for him and his family. I don't know if he has kids or wife. I'm just saying him and his family, just in case he does have those things. So it's hard to say, listen, you need to hang it up, man. You need to stop because, you know, what the income he can make playing football in 1 year can set him up for the rest of his life and his kids' lives and so forth and so on, if indeed you know, do the necessary things to allow your money to work for you, which he seems like he will and he does. So it's hard for me to say, you know what, you need to stop. It's easier for the expert, the neurosurgeon, to say, listen, I've seen this plenty of times. I've, you know, diagnosed brains, I've, you know, whatever the case may be. And I'm telling you, you need to stop. It's easier for the doctor to say that. It's harder for, you know, your peers to sit there when they're playing the same game and they play the same game to say, you need to stop playing. You know, do I think him not playing anymore would help? Absolutely. I do think it would help, because that would mean he wouldn't have, the likelihood of him having more concussions are slim. You know, not to say he couldn't have them, but every game is a concussion. Every game is almost like a car wreck. You're going to get hit hard and your head is going to hit that ground no matter what. If you are playing, it's 100% chance. If you are a receiver, quarterback, running back, linebacker, whatever, your head will hit the ground at least once during a game.
Yep.
And you will get dizzy at least once from that, from the impact of your head hitting the ground. So I can say, yeah, man, you know, it might be best if you do, but that's his decision that he has to make, you know. Right. I told you guys, when I watch the game now, I watch it and saying to myself, how did I play such a physical sport? Now, they've cleaned it up now a little, and sure, they've made it a lot safer.
For your position, especially.
I'm like, how in the hell did I play that sport at 5'11", 180-some pounds, you know, constantly hitting the ground?
You know how you did it?
You didn't think about it. I didn't think about it. It was just what I did, and I enjoyed it. But now I look at it, and I get a headache. That's why I'm so adamant about not letting your kids at certain ages do not play this game at all. Play flag football. Don't play tackle football. You know, wait to play tackle football. I am so adamant about that. Anybody that asks me, I will never change my stance in regards to that.
I don't think I've ever asked you this on or off the air. When DJ played, and I know you talked about it on the show that you never pushed him to play or to not play. You wanted it to be his decision. But when he stopped playing, was there a piece of you?
I was so happy.
Right.
I was so happy, because one reason I was happy is because now his mom and his sister, who those two were more worried vocally, and they were much more animated about that than me. I was like, I'm just going to sit back, because if I really get animated about it, then he's going to, then that's going to trigger him. But if his mom and sister are getting animated about it, yeah, he can deal with that. But if dad does it, that played the game, he's probably like, oh, you know, I don't
see. It was hard for you to have to step, you know, to give your opinion, because you it's just different for you because you lived it.
Exactly. But when he decided after the 11th grade year, he said, I don't want to play no more. I was so happy, like tremendously happy, like, good. You are not playing this physical sport anymore. You are such a brilliant kid and such a smart kid. You can do so many other things. And a kid can. Like, I'm not just saying that because he's my son. If I see a kid that is just brilliant, I'm going to say it, whether, you know, I think some of my friends' kids are just brilliant. And I let them know, like, these kids are, they're cool kids. But I just knew he could do so much more. And when he said, I don't want to play, it was like, whew, well, I don't have to worry about that. You know,
right.
As a parent, I don't have to worry about that. But it was always when he was playing, and he didn't play much, but if he did get in, it was like, I want him to do well, but man, I hope he doesn't get hurt. But I'm thinking that about all those kids out there, not just my kid. I'm thinking about that, about my friend's kids, about people that I don't even know, just watching their kids. I'm like, man, do they realize how physical this sport is? Do they realize how much their kid is being affected every day by playing this sport from a mental aspect? Do you know? And I'm talking about when they're little. I'm like, do they truly know? Is this about you or is this about your kid?
Right.
You know, because if it's about you, then that's not cool. You know, you need to take yourself out of it. If it's about your kid, what your kid wants to do, then fine. Let them do that. But explain to them, you know. So when DJ decided he didn't want to play, and again, I go back, it wasn't like he was a marquee player. He wasn't, but I was just so happy that he got out of it, man.
615-737-1025. Should Tua retire? because of the situation that he's been in over the course of the last few weeks. You can call or text our phone line, delivered by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And I have another thought on this coming up next as well, because it's a very interesting subject. As you listen to Chase, Willie, and D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Joe Rexroad going to join us at the top of the next hour to get his thoughts on all things Nashville sports. Chase, Willie, and D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your calls and texts on Tua Tagovailoa, should he retire? There is an interview that Bennett Amalu, who's known for the movie Concussion, he's a CTE expert. He said, speaking to TMZ, that he believes that he should stop playing and hang up the helmet. So here's kind of my thought on this. I wouldn't be surprised either way at this point. And I'm not saying that as a cop-out answer. I'm just, that's the truth. I would not be shocked either way if he keeps playing or if he retires. I kind of lean towards that if he keeps playing, it won't be this year. That he will, and the reason I say that is I look at what's going on in NASCAR right now. Kurt Busch has been out with a concussion since July. Alex Bowman's going to miss his second straight race with concussion-like symptoms. You know, that is something that they have really, really been, you know, watching for, you know, basically since Dale Jr. I mean, Dale Jr. suffered several concussions in his career, including 2016 when it was really bad. He basically missed half the season. He went out in July, didn't race again until the Daytona 500 in 2017, but he was never the same, and eventually that led to his retirement. So that's kind of how I look at Tua. Can Tua, if Tua decides to play again, can he not think? Can he not think about it? Because you know, as you sit there today and you were just telling the story, when you watch this game, you're going, how in the hell did I do that for 15 years? It's because you didn't think about it.
Yeah.
Because you never really had anything. You know, you had your scapula and you had injuries, but, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, but you had nothing that really made it stick in your head of, oh, wow, this is a dangerous sport.
Like, yeah, because it wasn't like, and listen, I've had my, you know, I've had two concussions, one my rookie year that completely just, the guy just knocked Benny Thompson just completely floored me. I will remember that day until I'm no longer here on earth. Benny Thompson just floored me on a punt return, and I was clean out. Crazy part about it is I end up going back in the game. I thinking about it makes my head hurt. But the protocols were not the same as they are
Rub
now.
Some
so
dirt
I can't,
on it. Walk
I
it
can't
off.
Blame anybody. You know, me blaming somebody means nothing at this point in time. And then, obviously, during the 99 season in the playoffs versus the Bills, I ended up getting a concussion. They took my helmet from me, so I couldn't go back in if I wanted to. But beside that, you know, after that concussion, I didn't think any more about it because I didn't have any, you know, effects from it, and I didn't have any concussions to that severity ever again in my life. Now, have I had concussions? More than likely, yeah, but they were not to that magnitude where now I'm thinking about it every time I get hit. And you can't. These games that are violent or race car, NASCAR, you can't get in the car, walk on a football field, walk in a hockey rink, and think, oh, my goodness, I remember when I got.
Yeah, like what if I get hurt?
You can't think about that. The All minute right. you start thinking about it, you're done. You might as well stop.
Yep.
Because you're going to end up hurting yourself again.
So that's my question for Tua. You know, can he – if and when he gets cleared to play, which he is out this week, no surprise there. He's going to be out for a while. Can he put that out of his mind and go and play? You know, we're efforting to get, I would love to get Dale Earnhardt Jr. on the show and talk about this with him because he's been open about it. I mean, he ended his career because of it. I mean, the whole thing with race car drivers is when you start thinking that you might get hurt doing this, get the hell out of the car.
And we've seen guys, I can remember the linebacker from the 49ers. It was within the last 6 or 7 years. He retired after like 3 or 4 seasons because he's like, I don't want to have to deal with this. You see these young men, you don't see it. I haven't seen it much in women's sports. So that's why I'm saying these young men. You see these young men retiring a little bit earlier because they don't want to have to deal with the constant beating of their body. So they walk out of the game, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years earlier, 5 years earlier than what they want to. They feel, I've made enough money. You know, I played the game that I wanted to play at the highest level you can play it. And I've achieved the, some of the things that I wanted to achieve on a football field. So now I'm just walking away because I don't want to stay too long and have the effects linger longer in my lifetime. You see, I don't want to play too long and then these effects of consistent concussions linger on longer in my life, much longer than what I played. So I see why these young men are retiring early. And that's the decision that Tua's going to have to make because it's going to be hard for him to get in that pocket, drop back, and have a 300-pounder coming at him and him not think, like, okay, is this the hit that puts me out?
Right.
If he can do it, that's great. But still, that's not going to prevent you from getting a concussion just because you're not thinking about it.
I know. I mean, that's what you have to decide and you have to put out of your mind. And if you can't do it, then walk away. And let me say this. There may be some people that are silly that would, you know, chastise him for that.
Mm-hmm.
I would applaud him. If he came out and he said, I got to take care of myself moving forward, mm-hmm. he'll be fine financially.
You remember the guy, what was the defensive
but
back?
But it's like Andrew Luck and Jake Locker and mm-hmm. these guys that...
That walked away.
That walked away because their heart wasn't in it anymore.
Exactly.
And if they had stayed in it and played through it, they were going to get hurt in a big way.
Who was the defensive back that I think he played for Buffalo. It might have been Buffalo, or he basically quit at halftime.
Yeah.
And he said. He said because.
Nick, do you remember who that is?
He said because, listen, I just can't do this. I'm depressed. I can't continue to play this game. And he retired.
Vontae Davis?
Yeah, Vontae Davis retired. And people ridiculed him for that. But then years later, they see why he retired, because that's a real issue.
Yeah.
Like, and when a guy's not feeling himself above his shoulders, and if he say at halftime, I'm done, you got to believe him.
Yeah.
Believe him. He's retired. He's saying he's done for a reason. It has nothing to do with his physical. It's his mental.
Right.
Believe him when he said, exactly. That's more important. Because eventually, if you don't have yourself right mentally, it's going to show physically. That's just what I believe.
Dave on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, and Nick, feel free to weigh in on this. I'm curious to y'all's thoughts on the concussions from fighting in hockey. Is it time to get it out of the game? Now, they have greatly reduced the amount of fighting in hockey. You don't see it as much anymore. Mm-hmm. And they break it up pretty quick when it does happen. But look, I mean, there are a lot of cases of guys getting concussed because of fighting in hockey.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. They're going to remove a lot of that. And I want to say in the last 5 years, we've seen less and less guys like a Tanner Janot step in and fight and that can score goals because it doesn't happen often enough anymore. And what referees do a lot of times is they hire the bigger guys, the taller guys, the lankier guys. Friend of the show, Brooks Bratton, back in the day used to tell me that's why you have those guys in there, so they can pull everyone apart from these big scrums. Yep. So,
well, and what's interesting too is they've changed the rules. We're used to you could square up at center mm-hmm. ice, take the helmet off, take the pat, you know, basically take all your equipment off and then fight. They don't let you do that anymore.
No, you can't. You can't pull if a helmet comes off. Fight's over.
Yeah.
Period.
I think it should be done. Period. I understand what hockey used to be. I get it, and I understand the purist out there that loves that part. But I understand the way football used to be too, and I understand a lot of people that you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. Well, they had to make the sport safer if the sport was going to last. They need to make, and they've done, you know, they've made hockey and football safer. But for me, again, I'm just looking at it as a guy that played sports. Fighting, if it's not boxing or MMA, then there should be no fighting, period.
I tend to agree with you.
That's just me.
I mean, look, it's a fun part of it, but
yeah,
you have to add what it does to the player.
Is it fun or is it well-being?
Yeah. To me it's well-being, and we know more now than we did 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Know better, do better.
I mean, think about, as we wrap this up, you think about the helmet that you wore for years in your career. Mm-hmm. And they can make the helmets as safe as they can, but you're not going to be able to prevent everything. There's no way. Like, you'd probably look at that thing, and I'm sure you still have some, probably look at it today compared to a helmet that they wear today and go, damn.
Okay, just think. You got an egg, right?
Mm-hmm.
That egg, that shell, it's pretty hard. And if you were to try to squeeze it like with your two fingers, you can't squeeze it and break it. But you could sure enough shake the hell out of it, can't you? That yolk is going everywhere, isn't it? That's your brain.
Yeah, it's scrambled.
Yeah, that's your brain. It hit that concrete or hit that turf enough, that brain is moving around.
Yep.
The skull may not be damaged, but the brain, you're damaging the brain each and every time.
It's hitting the skull.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, Joe Rexroad going to join us. One half of Robbie and Rexroad. We'll talk all things Nashville sports with him. We'll do that next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.